Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI.
When you start off on podcasts, or if you haven't been interviewed very much, your message will be all over the place. The knowledge is in your head, but it's not connected to your mouth. If you've been interviewed 50 times, you'll find that there's a lot of patterns. You get asked the same questions over and over again. That really, really helps when you're a podcast guest. More experienced podcast guests, they have told that story that they told 1,000 times in 1,000 different places, but it comes across as natural. It comes across as funny because they have really practiced at it.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host, when asked if he prefers hot weather or cold weather, his answer is a no. Pat Flynn.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Ditch the busy work, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And in the minute that I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. You can get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love how adaptable Indeed is, and it's just your all-in-one hiring platform. You can do everything on there, interviews, messaging. There's nothing else that you need. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/smartpassive. Just go to Indeed.com/smartpassive right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/smartpassive. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. You know, Seth Godin had once said, podcasting is the new blogging. And I say, if that's true, well, then guest podcasting is the new guest blogging. And if you were blogging anytime around the year 2000 to 2010 to 12, you would know that guest blogging was the number one way to get more exposure to your own brand and to your own blog if you had one. The reason being because you are writing a guest post on another person's website. There's a new audience there, new eyes to find you for the first time. Plus, you also get the SEO benefits and Google might be more likely to rank you because of that backlink that you get from being on that other person's site. Today, however, the environment's changed a little bit. Obviously, content creation is a little bit different, but guest podcasting, in my opinion, is the number one way to get exposure for your brand. No matter how big or small you are, there are possibilities for you to get on other people's podcasts. And today's guest, Ray Blakeney, CEO and co-founder of Podcast Hawk. We're going to talk all about that today because his business and his software, Podcast Hawk, helps people become guests on other people's podcasts. And the reason why I think podcasting is even better than guest blogging is because not only do you get, yes, you also get the backlink because you're often going to find yourself on that person's show notes, that host's show notes, but you're also going to get the endorsement from that host. You're going to be able to have a conversation, and this audience that this person has built trust with over time is now speaking to you. They're welcoming you into their circle. You're going to build trust and a relationship with that audience much, much faster. Not only are you getting access to that audience, but you're building a relationship with them much faster too, which is always great, especially if you can maximize your time on that podcast, which we're going to talk about with Ray here today as well. Ray is a software developer at heart, and in fact, he's had a business in the language space at LiveLingua and a very successful software to help people learn languages. And he's brought his software talent into the podcasting space for us at Podcast Hawk. We'll talk a little bit more about what that software does and how it does it. But today, we're mostly going to talk about how to be a guest on another person's podcast. How do you even get a person to say yes? How do you position yourself so that a podcaster will be more likely to invite you into their circle? How do you maximize your time on that show? How do you bring people from that time listening to now your website, to your brand, to your product, to your lead magnet, whatever it might be? All that and more today in session 547 of the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Ray Blakeney from Podcast Hawk. Enjoy. Ray, what's up? Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Show. How are you?
Hey, Pat. Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year as well. I hope you had a great holiday with the family.
Even though we're kind of talking out of asynchronously now because we're recording this actually in October of 2021, but we know this is getting published in 2022. This is one of the crazy things about, you know, podcasting is you can do things like this. And we're gonna talk about a lot of things today with relation to hopefully people listening to this and getting on other people's shows, because it's in my opinion, one of the number one ways to grow your brand and your exposure. Why does Podcast Hawk exist? Why spend all this time and energy to create a solution for us to go and find other shows to be on? This is your jam right now. So why was this even created?
Great question. And I think like a lot of entrepreneurs, it's because I needed it. That's the reason behind why I created Podcast Hawk. So one of the things I like to say is there's two kinds of entrepreneurs in the world, right? There are the visionaries who create stuff we don't even know we need. I'm not one of those, right? I'm not going to think of the next great big thing. The second kind of entrepreneur are those who see a need, see nobody's meeting that need, and then create something to meet the need. So that's the story behind Podcast Talk. My background is I actually run another company called LiveLingua.com. It's one of the top five online language schools in the world. And during COVID, we had a lot more people coming into our website. And I wanted to get in front of new audiences, right? So we used all of the usual suspects, SEO, Facebook ads, Google ads. And I'm like, we need to build a new channel. What can we try right now? Because everybody's looking for online education to get in front of these new audiences. And it occurred to me, podcasts. I had my own podcast in the past. Didn't quite work out for me. It's a lot of work and it didn't really gain any traction. But I'd been on other people's podcasts, not too many, about 10 or 15, just people I met at conferences. And that had actually worked out well for me. So I said, hey, maybe I should go out there and find some other shows to get on. How hard could that be? So like everybody, the first thing you do is you go there, and I went on Google and like podcasts to be a guest on. Nothing. I mean, you might find two or three, and they're, you know, really big shows that might not be for the right audience. You are half the shows that I found that way weren't even active anymore. So it was really, really inefficient. Mm. So my next thought was, there must be a tool to do this. And I spent a week, 2 weeks searching. There wasn't. So I did it manually in the beginning, and it took me weeks to find podcasts to get on there. You can hire companies to do it, and they were charging $3,000 to $5,000 to get me on 5 to 10 shows. And they wouldn't even guarantee that those shows had listeners, right? I mean, this could literally be some kid sitting in his basement making a podcast, and I just paid an agency to get me on a show. So there had to be something else out there. So my background is, I'm a software engineer. I went out there, and on a weekend, I'm like, can I build something to do this, theoretically speaking? So I played around with some code. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the weekend, I'm like, I think I can actually do it. So I started working on it myself. It was kind of a side hustle for me. For the first 6 months, pretty much I said, can I get every podcast in the world into a database? Can I get every email into a database? Can we clean all that stuff up, make it useful to the users, and make it searchable? I did it. I showed it to some people, and they're like, wow, I would pay for that. So that is how Podcast Hawk was born. And we'll get into a little bit more of what else it does right now. But that was kind of like the version 0.1 and why I actually built it in the first place. Because look, I thought, even if I don't, you know, make any money off of it, I'll at least use this to get on shows myself. So it won't be a waste of time.
Wow. That's an incredible story of developing a solution for something and taking, and I know it was this, an MVP approach, right? You built it over a weekend, right? And then now you shared it with others. And, you know, I think of a lot of people who have ideas for software, but then it's just like, wow, there's so much to do. What's it going to look like? How's it going to feel? I part of me wants to go deep into software development right now, but I know that that's not what we're going to talk about. So we'll maybe save that for a later time, because we've talked about that on the show before. But one question for anybody out there who's looking to build a software, because this is your world and you're here, so I want to take advantage of that. What's the best tip you have for getting to that first sort of iteration to then explore, share, you know, green light, red light at that point?
I do like the saying that if you're not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you know, you waited too long to launch it, right? And that's what I say for this first version. If you have a background in software engineering like I have, don't get too caught up in the details. I know as software engineers, we like, oh, everything has to work, and we try to account for every possible contingency. Don't worry about that in the first version, right? Just make sure it works for 80% of the people. Get it out there, get people using it. And you'll probably, if what you wrote solves a big problem for them, they'll still say thank you for it, even though there are bugs and they might crash sometimes. Yeah. So definitely just get out there, throw it out there. If you don't have a software background, use tools out there to build your MVP. My story for LiveLingua is, when we first launched it back about 15 years ago, before there were all these cool tools out there that you know non-programmers could use, even WordPress was a little new. Literally, I made a 5-page website in HTML, and we would use Google Docs and Excel spreadsheets to track when we gave language lessons to our students and pay our teachers with that in the end. That's how we built the business into a 7-figure business, and we're using a similar methodology here for Podcast Talk.
Love it. Kind of a lean approach to it, exactly. which I love, and I think is very, very smart. So let's talk about getting onto other people's shows using Podcast Hawk. We'll talk about that briefly and just go over, well, how does this actually work so that people can try it out and use it? And then we'll get into, okay, well, when you land a guest spot, what do you do? How do you make sure it's the best and it's going to serve you and the growth that you'd like? So tell us about Podcast Hawk. Like, technically, like, what's the user experience like? What do you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So Podcast Hawk, what we do for you is we take all the time out of not only finding the right podcast for you. And you said, we're going to talk about it later about how, you know, to get on the podcast and make use out of it. But you need to do that before you use Podcast Hawk, in the sense that you need to know who you're trying to get in front of and what message you're trying to share with the world and what value you're looking to add. Then when you come to Podcast Hawk, what we've built is a sophisticated search engine that goes through all the podcasts in the world. Currently, we have about 1.7 million of them in there. We just found a new source, and hopefully we're going to pass 2 million podcasts soon. Not all of them are active, but there are reasons you can reach out to inactive podcasts as well, and you can filter that with our search. So what you can go into Podcast Hawk right now, it's really simple. We're worried about functionality, not so much making it look pretty. It doesn't look awful, but you know, we'll add pretty later. And it's, you go in there and you can search things. For example, I always recommend using podcast description as the base of your search, not the title. Because when people create titles for their podcast, they sometimes try to get really creative with them. You know, let's just say Ray's Amazing Show, and you have no idea what the show is about. So if you search by title, you'd be missing out on a lot of it. But you go in there, you can search by the description. And then we have all these other search filters. So you can say, I want a podcast with the word marketing in it, a big category, but that also has the word pink flamingos in it. Because let's say that's your niche, you're selling pink lawn flamingos.
Okay.
And it's created an episode in the last 30 days. It has at least a 4.5 star rating average on iTunes. It has at least 50 episodes because you want something that's been around a little bit. You're not looking for a new show. And it has a podcast score of 40. And I'll explain a little bit what a podcast score is in a minute. I challenge everybody to go and find these shows yourself manually on the web, and you'll be there for weeks. With us, you click search, and in a few seconds, less than a second if we're lucky, it will bring back all the podcasts in the world that match your criteria. So what you can do after that is you go and you find all the shows. You can read all the shows. So we'll show you the full descriptions. We'll show you the social media, the titles, the images. You can decide out of all of those, let's say 5,000 shows came back. You can go in there and pick 50, 100, 1,000 that match exactly what you're looking for. Because even with a good search, it won't. Not all of those will be a perfect match for you, right? So you put those and you create a campaign in PodcastSolve. What does that do? We actually do the email pitching for you afterwards. So let's say you created a campaign with 1,000 shows. That's a lot of shows, and we get about a 10 to 20% response rate. So unless you want to be on 100 shows in the next month, I'd say start with a smaller number than that. You create the campaign, and we do all the emails for you. So the first email, the 3-day follow-up, the 7-day follow-up, if you don't get responses, we do all of it. We have kind of one of those email systems where you can say, hi, first name. We know the name of the hosts based on our system, and we'll send the emails out for you. So pretty much once you set this up, the vision behind Podcast Talk is, let's say we have different plans and we'll pitch 25, 50, 100 shows every month on autopilot for you, depending on your plan. You could set it up with 5,000 shows, hit save, and never have to go back into our system again, because every month we will be pitching 25, 50, or 100 podcasts for you. So if you get about a 10 to 20% response rate, let's just say on the lowest plan, you get 25 pitches a month, you get on 10%. Let's round up to 3. So you're getting on 3 shows every single month without doing anything. Because what we do is when they reply to you and say, yes, I'd like you on my show, we forward that to your inbox. That's it. You just sit back and wait for your inbox to be filled with these messages once you've set up the campaigns in our system. That's all there is to it. There are other uses you can have for it, but that's the primary use of Podcast Talk, is get you on podcasts on autopilot.
Wow. Questions that I'm assuming my audience has right now, and I have, which is these emails that are being sent out. You know, I know from a podcast host perspective that I get emails all the time that just sound so generic that it's just like, oh, this is a waste of, I'm never going to say yes to this person. How does Podcast Talk help us avoid that kind of email being sent out?
Great question. And that's exactly right. We're not a spam software, right? If users keep getting marked as spam, we probably will block them from our system because we don't want to be known for that. So what we've done is we've created a wizard in Podcast Talk. So when you go through the whole thing, you put in your template, let's say, for the podcasts, and you can actually customize the emails for each one of the people you send out. So let's say you have 100 people in there. I'm going to touch on podcast score a little bit right now. This is going to help you figure out which ones to really go in there and customize and which ones aren't. What we've created is our own algorithm to rate all the podcasts in the world from 0 to 100. So literally, it uses things like how long they've been around, their ratings, and all this other metrics that we're getting from around the internet to give you an idea of how, quote unquote, powerful this podcast is. I'll give you an example. For example, your show. I looked it up right before we got on there. You have a podcast score of 81. It's logarithmic. So the higher you get, the higher, you know, 81 to 82 is a lot
harder. B minus.
Well, you know, once getting up to the top is really, really hard.
It's not a great.
You're still
it's
in the top like 1% at that point, right? But it gives you an idea of whether anybody is actually listening to this show. And it also gives you an idea of how hard it will actually be for you to get on that show. So let's say Joe Rogan, he's one of the top ones, and a show called Dr. Death. I don't really know. It's one of those serial murder shows. Those are like the two top scoring podcasts in our system right now. If you're starting off the entrepreneurship journey, if you're starting your business, you probably don't want to be pitching those guys anyway, because they might be out of your level. But you might be looking to pitch people at a score of 30 to 40 in our podcast score. These are kind of podcasts that have some listeners, but maybe are a little easier for you to get on there, get your feet wet, get used to being interviewed first, then work yourself up in our podcast score. That's why we built it. We update it all the time. The way this relates back to customizing the pitches is if you go through your search and you have these 100 podcasts and you find the top 20 of them have a podcast score above 60. So these are generally pretty established podcasts, over 100 episodes, all that kind of stuff. You might decide, look, I don't have time to customize 5,000 pitches, but anything above 60, I'm going to customize. In our system, what you can do is it shows you all the pitches you're about to send out before you send out. You click on a customize button. It brings up this page where on the left, you have all the episodes. On the top, you have the description with the social media page links. And there in the middle, you can actually customize the emails, the main email and all the follow-up emails. You can listen to the episodes from that page. You can click on it. We'll open up a new page for their Facebook, their social media. So you can go in there and take a look at that all from one page, including their own website. So you can do all the research and customize your pitch. Listen to the three most recent episodes. Just read the titles and customize the pitch for them all in one place without you having to go on the web and on Facebook and on LinkedIn and on YouTube and finding all this information. We have it all there for you. Customize it for them.
That's crazy,
score bro. Of 60 and above. Hit save and we'll take care of it from there.
That's crazy. Two things for me. Number one, it's almost like a command center for your podcast outreach, right?
That's it.
With the fact that you said you see their social streams and you see all this, like I can imagine, maybe I find a podcast that through Podcast Talk, I'm like, cool, this is awesome. I could see what their latest tweets were, for example, right? And I could go, oh, they were at Disneyland. I'm a huge Disney nerd. Now in my messaging, I can be like, hey, fellow Disney fan, I saw that you were in a, you know, and it's not as creepy if it's on a public forum like, you know, Twitter and people, you know, can see that. It's actually quite cool when people send me messages and they're like, hey, I saw, you know, on your Instagram that you, you know, hit 85,000 subscribers on your Pokemon YouTube channel. Like, congrats. I'm just like, hey, thanks. Like, now I'm open to the conversation now. And I think that's really cool. The second thing is the one thing that's been missing in podcasting forever has been access to data. Right. As a podcaster, and it's interesting because this is for the podcastee, if you will. But this is so exciting because now we're getting the ability to look around and search and filter and find things that actually matter to us more, which is the whole point of data, in my opinion. The benefit of data is the ability to be able to locate and find things that we need much faster. And here it is now in the podcasting space in the form of helping us get on shows. And you know, it's not just getting on shows. It's the relationship that could be now had as a result of getting on these shows. Like some of my best friends are now people who I once had on my show or vice versa. So imagine the implications of a tool like this. Just, wow, just really amazing, Ray. Congrats to you and your team for putting this together. And, you know, full disclosure, and I think I mentioned this in the intro, I'm an advisor to Podcast Hawk. So there is a quote unquote bias here, right? But, doesn't it sound awesome? And also, I wouldn't be an advisor if this wasn't awesome. So, Ray, this is great. I'm glad to push this into the world through the show to help them discover this, which can be very helpful. But like with any of these great tools, they can be used for good and they can be used for bad, right? And exactly. And so I think hopefully people listening to this will use it not for spam purposes, and that never works out in the end, but for good. And that is now possible thanks to Podcast Hawk. So appreciate that.
No, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for your advice up until now as an advisor. And, you know, we're looking to add to it. Our goal with Podcast Talk is to make podcast guesting accessible to everybody, not only the people who can afford the $5,000 agencies or have to put 40 hours out there. You'll see on our pricing, this is a bootstrap business. That's what I know how to do. We don't have a $50 million investment. I don't have to pay back these big investors in the back. So we're keeping the price really, really accessible. Right now, January, the prices are from about $39 to $79 on the high end. $39, we're pretty much saying we'll get you on a show at least once every 2 weeks, probably every week if you have a really good story behind you. But $39, if you're an entrepreneur starting out, if you're an author who's trying to get your book in front of audiences, if you're a small business owner trying to get in front of your niche market. I remember onboarding in the beginning, there was a consultant for burlesque dancers that I onboarded in our first beta users. And I was kind of concerned when we were doing the onboarding call. I'm like, are there any podcasts for that? Yes, absolutely. There are a few hundred podcasts out there for that. So it doesn't matter what niche you're in. There are podcasts. Those podcasts are talking to your audience, right? So you can get there. You can get in front of the right people at the right time and add value to them on the podcast. And then you can hopefully grow your business, your brand through that.
I mean, I've always been an advocate for getting on other people's shows. You get not only more time with your target audience because people are listening to podcasts longer, and not only do people get to hear your voice, so they get to hear the real you and then, you know, your personality and your character and come back to your website or what have you, but you're also getting the endorsement from the host as well. And I would pay, imagine, you know, spending $39 like a month, right? Versus $39 on a Facebook ad to try to do this or get new listeners. It's no comparison. There is no comparison. It just makes complete sense. So get in now while it's cheap, I guess.
Exactly. Let me add a little bit to that Facebook ad and the marketing side, because, you know, I also had a little marketing background, and there are additional benefits, right? So you mentioned the Facebook ad, which is great because most podcasters will actually share the episode on their social media. So in a way, you are paying for a Facebook ad, right? So whoever the podcast host is, is going to put it on their Facebook. It's going to put it on their Twitter. So you are going to get that social media exposure by appearing on the podcast.
It's more possible. It's not always guaranteed, but it's definitely more possible.
It's not always guaranteed. Exactly. But it's more than likely that they're going to share it on there. Most podcasters will at least share it on the Facebook. Check out my latest episode. Here it is.
Yep.
SEO, if this podcaster has a website and they put show notes, which most good podcasters do, you just got a backlink to your website. Your website just went up in Google's rank. You got on 100 podcasts. You just got 100 backlinks from very relevant backlinks because you're picking the right podcast for your business anyway. So you're getting you're getting links back to your website from podcasts that talk about what you talk about. And then your website's going up as well. So don't think of it as only being on this podcast, which is evergreen material anyway. Somebody can listen to it now. They'll listen to it 5 years from now, and you might get clients or customers or sales out of that. But your website will rank more highly, and you'll be shared on social media, all for talking about hopefully what you're passionate about anyway, right? Getting on a show and just talking about, this is fun. I mean, this is not work. I mean, I wish I got paid, to do this. But no, this is fun, right?
Yeah. I didn't even think about those benefits. I mean, I talk about guest podcasting all the time. In fact, I have some students of mine in my courses who this is literally their only strategy. I didn't even think about the SEO implications of this, which is huge because SEO can be a very expensive thing to get, or to at least get consultation for. And backlinks are worth their weight in gold, and relevant backlinks even more. So this is awesome. So podcasthawk.com/SPI. We'll talk more about what's there later, but let's talk about, now that we are going to have this opportunity to be on another person's show, just like how you're on this show today, or a person listening is on, an influencer show tomorrow, how do we make the best of that time? What do we need to prepare for? How do we make sure that it's going to be worth the time and effort to reach out and make this happen?
Great question. And for me, at least, there are two big parts to that answer, right? The first part is you need to know your goal for being on that show. It sounds a little callous sometimes, but if you're going to be on there, you need to know why you're going to be on there. If you're an author, your goal on there is to get people to read your book and to buy your book. It's business. If you're using it for marketing, that's what's there. Sure. The second half, however, is you need to add value to the show. Because if all you use is that first half of the offer, which is, I'm here to sell my book, and the only thing you talk about is buy my book for the entire podcast, absolutely going to bomb in the podcast and more than likely won't even be published by the host, right? They'll say thank you and you'll have wasted 30 minutes of your time and the host's time as well. So what you need to do to be a really good host before even stepping in there, getting the microphone ready, is to have those two things very clear in your head. What am I getting on this podcast for? This helps me a lot because my mind tends to wander. So if I don't have that very clearly before I get on the show, I'll start talking about, that vacation I just took when I went to Mexico, whatever. I mean, I go really off track and it's a waste of time for everybody. And then the second one is that value component. Make sure you're there trying to teach something, try to share something. It can be anything from your knowledge or maybe even just a story, right? Because if what you're trying to do is share, some heartache that you went through in the past and help other people out, that's valuable to be on the show as well.
Great. So that's what happens when you are planning to get, or even as you're preparing to reach out to podcasts. And when you do, going into that podcast's archive specifically to see what they have talked about, what they didn't talk about, maybe even going as far as looking at their reviews or any commentary on social media about that particular podcast to see what people who are listeners like and what the listeners don't like. And then I always love to have prepared a story or two ahead of time. When you watch a late night show like with Conan or Jimmy Fallon or whoever, and the guest is sitting next to them up there and they're always telling stories. Mm-hmm. Those stories didn't come out of thin air. They were actually rehearsed ahead of time. Like, okay, I want you to tell this story and I'll set you up for it. And not to say that you have to set it up with your host, but you can in your mind, if you already know the topics that you're going to talk about, have a story ready or at the ready in case that topic comes up so that, you're eloquent, you are bringing people and transporting them to some situation that's relatable, memorable, it's a shareable thing, and it always, leads to more entertaining factors as well. So I love that approach. Let's talk about, what does a person technically have to make sure happens, because especially for first timers, it can be very nerve-wracking at times to get on another person's podcast. It is a huge deal and you want to be showing up in the best way possible. What is What does that actually mean? What do we have to look out for?
Yeah, so I'll give some technical advice, but you know, related to what you just said, I'm going to also share a story of the first time I was ever on a podcast, more maybe as a warning story to people who are out there.
Okay.
And a little bit of advice, I guess, this is something to prep for podcasts. Make sure you relax a little bit before you get on these shows. I remember the first show that I was on. I knew the person who was there. It was a travel podcast because my wife and I love to travel. So I was going to be on there, but I was really nervous. It was one of the, you know, a decent amount of listeners on there. And I was so nervous that when I went back and listened to my episode, I normally speak quickly, but I was like a machine gun. I mean, I was just trying to spew everything out at exactly the same time. So one bit of advice, you know, before the technical stuff, if you like meditation, if you, you know, drink a cup of tea, have a cup of coffee, do that before you get on shows, especially if you're just starting off, because you do need to relax. You're never going to be able to perform if you're going into something nervous. This applies to sports. This applies to business. And this also applies to being a guest on podcasting. It will get better with the more practice you have. I've been on, going on about 150 podcasts right now. And, you know, I still get nervous a little bit. I have those butterflies in my stomach. I know you, Pat, when you talk about speaking on stage, right? You've done it a lot, but you still have that, you know, before you, that first time you walk on stage, you already have a little bit of that, right? You'll have that as a guest on podcasts as well, but you can get over it a lot more quickly. So that would be the non-technical advice as well. Drink a cup of coffee, tea, whatever it is that makes you relax. Do that before you get on the show.
Lots of water too, because you're going to get, if you're nervous, you're going to get dry mouth, right? That's the one thing I remember. You got water right there.
I
remember when I was a guest on other people's podcasts at first, it's like you start to get a little bit of a dry mouth. And that's not good when it's audio only, because when you have a dry mouth, because you're nervous, it's just the natural reaction many of us have to being nervous. We then have that sound in our mouth that makes it sound more wet. It's like that nasty sound. You hear that when actually people have dry mouth, because it's the mouth trying to moisturize itself. And a little bit of a tip that I have, because that's something that I've gone through as well. There's actually something I want to give credit to Nicole Walters, a good friend of ours here on the show, NicoleWalters.com. She introduced me to this spray. It's called Entertainer's Secret. It's like $8 a bottle, all natural on Amazon. And it's like tastes pretty good. I use that when I go to conferences. I use that when I'm podcasting. Anytime you're worried about having a little bit of a hoarse mouth, which can sometimes happen when you're talking for so long and nervous, that stuff is magic, absolute magic. So Entertainer's Secret is the name of that elixir, if you will. Okay, keep going.
Okay, yeah. So those are some of the prep things that you can do. The obvious ones, right? Make sure that you're in a quiet room. I mentioned I've had a few podcasts in the past, didn't go anywhere, but I remember one of my guests, he was on his iPhone in a coffee shop with the blenders going off in the back. I did not send any prep email for that because I assumed nobody would do that. But apparently people will do that. So I'm going to share that here. Don't do that, right? And make sure you're in a quiet place in your house. There's some technical sides as far as close all your browsers down. Make sure nobody else in the house is using the internet. That's something that has happened to me in the past. And I've actually done it in the past. Played a computer game when my wife was on a podcast once. Not a good idea. For all you young kids out there, you might want to connect your computer to the modem with something that we old folk call wires, that you can actually, you know, connect from the modem directly to your computer. We're used to using wireless right now, but that literally takes your internet speed up by about 10x if you use like a LAN connection.
You're sharing your age with us with that comment, right?
I know. I was about to say, I'm like, yeah, back in my day.
Not to mention the fact that you said modem.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Do kids not call them that anymore? I don't even know what they're called.
No. Router, maybe, I don't know.
Who knows, right? So do it for podcasts. You can buy one on Amazon for like $5. They're not expensive. Just plug them in if you have a desktop. If you're lucky, again, dating myself, I actually still have a tower on there. But most laptops have it unless you have the super thin ones. And even then, you can buy like an adapter for that to work. That'll give you much better quality. It's a good respect for the podcast host as well, because you're going to provide them with better audio quality. Another tip and trick is make sure your background looks professional, because especially these days, most podcasters actually also do a video with their podcast. They've probably either taken Pat's course or some other course where, you know, it's about repurposing your material. So if you're going to already record somebody anyway, using something like we're on Squadcast right now, there will be a video that goes with it. Even a lot of podcasters use Zoom. So make sure that your background looks presentable. I have fallen into that before where, you know, I didn't know there was going to be audio and I forgot to brush my hair. So now there's a video of me. You can find probably a few of them online where my hair is just like all over the place because I didn't know anybody would actually see what I looked like during that podcast because I thought it was audio. So those are some of the technical things you can do. Again, close it down on your computer. Oh, close down all your chat messaging, but make sure you close them down correctly. I'm talking about Skype. I'm talking about Slack. Sometimes these messages appear right in the middle of your interview. And depending on how you have your computer configured, it might be heard, right? So as you know, a Skype ringtone might happen in the middle of your call, or your little Slack boop boop noise, right? Will happen right in the middle of your interview. And you want to do that. It's not professional. It's, again, it's not respectful to the podcast host. So those are my general tips for people who are trying to be on podcasts. And otherwise, have fun. Because, you know, again, we're going back to the first thing we talked about. When you're stressed out, when you're not having fun, it will show. Your voice will be stressed. Your message won't come across. So enjoy it. You know, generally, almost every podcaster I've met has been a great person and kind of pulled you along. So just enjoy the ride.
Love it. What would you say a podcast host is looking for in a guest most?
This, again, I'm pulling it all back to that first point that we had here. It's about adding value or sharing an interesting story, again, depending on your niche, with the audience of this podcast host, right? You need to make sure that you are a good fit for their show before you get on there. And then practice your story. It's, again, like speaking in front of a public. You have to have the story. You have to say it over and over and over again. One of the things that I actually recommend, because I did this when I was starting out, I mentioned the podcast score with Podcast Hawk, right? So maybe you pick a few podcasts that are low on the podcast score just to get your feet wet. There have been two interesting things on my podcast journey. So I'm going to try to be on 1,000 podcasts. It's going to take a few years, but my goal is to be a guest on 1,000 podcasts. Then I should have a pretty decent idea of, you know, what it takes to be a guest on podcasts. In the beginning, when you start off on podcasts, or if you haven't been interviewed very much, your message will be all over the place. Right? Because you don't really know what they're going to ask. You don't know what your answer is going to be. You kind of, the knowledge is in your head, but it's not connected to your mouth. And it doesn't kind of come out, as you say, in an eloquent way. Mm-hmm. If you've been interviewed 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, you'll find that there's a lot of patterns. You get asked the same questions over and over again. That really, really helps when you're a podcast guest. And I think it shows more experienced podcast guests, most more experienced guests, like you were saying on the late shows, they have told that story that they told 1,000 times in 1,000 different places. They probably are half asleep in their mind when they're telling it because they've done it so many times, right? But it comes across as natural. It comes across as funny because they have really practiced at it. So that would be a recommendation to a lot of guests as well. I'll add a little bit of extra to that. One of the things that I found on my podcast guest journey after having done that is I've actually learned more about myself. When somebody asks you something, a very common question like, Ray, tell me a little bit about you. The first time I answered, I'm like, well, you know, I don't really know how to answer that because that's just a general question. By the 50th time, you're like, yeah, I know who I am because I've answered this question many, many times. Like, you know, when they ask you about your opinions and everything, it really helps you kind of clarify your thoughts, things that you know but nobody ever asks you in real life. That you get to share with the world. And by the end of it, you might actually have a clearer identity of who you are, kind of an added bonus to being a guest on podcasts. That was a surprise to me. It wasn't my goal. It wasn't my intention, but I kind of found that happening after about 50 shows.
Honestly, now that you're talking about that, I've definitely found the same thing to be true. Partly as a podcaster, just having the opportunity to get behind the microphone and tell stories. And now thanks to Ramit Sethi, who gave me the idea of once calling a story bank, right? So an Evernote folder system, or it could be in Google or wherever, where you actually keep track of stories. Little things that happen during the day could become a lesson or something that you could put into a presentation or a story on your podcast, in a blog post, or if you're a guest or something. And I've used those, and those become really, really useful. And they end up often either in a presentation or even in a book. But you're right. Like, you don't know what's interesting until you find out what other people are interested in. And then you can also gauge how people react in real time. Mm-hmm. You can have a person go, oh my gosh, that's so interesting. Like, tell me more. And in your head, you're like, really? That's not really that interesting to me, but it's not about you, right? It's about the podcast hosts and their audience. So that's really fantastic. Okay, let's finish up here by talking about wrapping up with a person that you're on their podcast for? How do we best utilize that, especially if we're ourselves trying to grow a business and maybe want to bring those listeners somewhere else? How would you recommend a person best utilize that time, especially near the end of the podcast?
Perfect. Yeah. So when you go on the show, I'll mention the end of the podcast and even after the podcast is done, there are a few things that you can do to make the most of the podcast that you've just been on. At the end of the show, again, it's about offering value to the customers or to the listeners. So make sure you have something to offer the listeners of this specific podcast. So it can be as little as a coupon code for your software, maybe some free downloads of the first chapter of your book, whatever it is you're offering. Mm-hmm. Give it to the listeners of this podcast. Give them easy ways for them to contact you, whether it's business or not. One thing I've done personally is I created just a small, simple personal page. I'm like, look, you don't want to sign up for Podcast Talk. You don't want to sign up for LiveLink with my other business. But you have a question for me. I encourage people, and I'll encourage your audience here as well. If you want to chat, I love talking about this stuff. Hit me up on Facebook. Look for, I say something like, and I'll say it here, look for Ray Blakeney. Look for the picture of the guy who's sword fighting because that's what I do in my free time. So you won't confuse me with another Ray Blakeney. Or go to rayblakeney.com. Contact me there. Those kind of things add. It might not be a sale, but you're now building relationships outside of just the podcast host. Mm-hmm. You're building relationships there. So that's what I would say at the end of the show. Kind of wrap everything up. If you are telling a story, a podcast is also like a story. So you kind of start by talking about what you're saying. If you are building a story brand, if people haven't read that book, I highly encourage it, but they kind of walk 100%. You through this whole thing. My main business is in education, and they actually, the whole story brand thing is what we've been doing in language education for years. Not by we, I mean the whole language education area. You kind of start with a summary, you end with a summary of what you did, because people might mm-hmm. forget some of the details along the way. After you're done with the podcast, after you've even kind of turned off the recording, there are a few things that I also recommend that I find a lot of people don't do. One, send at least a thank you message to the host. I've interviewed a few hundred people and I'd say five of them said thank you the next day or, the hour afterwards. So just be polite, say thank you to the host. You can actually take that to the next level. If you find that you had a rapport with the host, ask, hey, do you have any friends who you think I'd be a good, who have podcasts that I could be on their show, that I'd be a good fit for their show? You'll be surprised. I'd say one out of three times. Most podcasters know other podcasters, unless they are very high level podcasters who get hundreds of pitches every month. Most people who are starting off podcasting are looking for great guests. So if you just ask that the next day, you'll probably get on a few more shows out of that as well. And then the final thing to make the most of your podcast for everybody is when your show is live and they send you social media links, because a lot of podcasters will put in time to make, here's a Facebook post, these are linked, share it. The least you can do is share it on your personal pages. You don't have to share it out to your email list or your business or anything like that, but just share it. It shows appreciation to the podcast host that you're doing that.
For sure. I love that. And another thing that we could think about is to really utilize that audience and provide them even more value, even after the conversation is over, is to provide a landing page with even more things on it, right? Or relevant things
Absolutely.
That came as a result of that conversation. And I know, for example, if like you don't just walk the walk, you talk the talk, you have a page that people can go to right now to learn more. And again, that is a great strategy. Where can people go and what will they get when they get there?
Absolutely. So you can go to podcasthawk.com. So podcast, HAWK.com/SPI. So what we have there for you is not only will you get a coupon for 1 month free of Podcast Hawk, if you guys want to try it out, you essentially, for any of our plans, so you can pitch 25, 50 or 100 podcasts, get yourself on a bunch of shows, make sure that this works for you before committing to a more longer term thing. But if you don't even have the budget to pay the $39 a month right now, I have a spreadsheet that I used when I was starting out that I'm sharing with you guys where you can actually, track the podcast you manually find online. You can track the emails you sent out to them, all the rest of that stuff. I'm also sharing a media kit. One of my tricks for podcast pitching is podcasters are busy. Pat can back this up. So if you send them a pitch that's 20 pages long, they are not going to read it. Even if you set your whole bio and all your resume, they are exactly. So they won't read it. So what I recommend doing is kind of keeping that first one on the main points, but you can include a link. Don't make it as an attachment because then you're going to be put in the spam box much more frequently, but you can include a link in there. It's like, look, Pat, this is who I am. This is what I think I can talk about. You want to find out more? Here's a link to my media kit. You can host it on your Google Drive. You can host it on your personal website. But they click on that, and then you can have a longer media kit, which not only will talk about your experience if you've been on shows before, make sure you have a few episodes that you've appeared on that they can listen to in your media kit. So I've shared that on this page where you guys can do this PowerPoint.
Nice.
Flip out the images, put in your own, put it up on your website, and that you can use. You can have your own media kit in about 30 minutes by using that. That'll be there for free for you guys to download.
See, this is what we're talking about, providing even more value than expected. And Ray, we talked about Podcast Hawk and just how genius that is. I hope everybody checks it out. You can go to that link, podcasthawk.com/SPI, and see what this is all about. So Ray, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for allowing myself and Matt to come on as advisors and help out with the growth of the company, because we truly believe in what you're doing and the purpose of it, and couldn't be more thankful to work with you.
Thanks, Matt. It's been a blast.
Thank you. All right, I hope you enjoyed that episode with Ray. Ray, just a plethora of knowledge. Thank you so much. And again, that link, if you want to check out the goodies there and Podcast Hawk, go to podcasthawk.com/SPI. Again, that's podcasthawk.com/SPI. As always, we'll have links and resources at our show notes page, which you can find at smartpassiveincome.com/session547. And as you've heard during this episode, I all the time get asked from people to be a guest on this show. And so hopefully this gives you some idea from my perspective what it's like, and some of the no-nos, some of the yes-yeses, and things that you can do to increase your chances to get on a show like mine or even bigger. And it, again, doesn't matter if it's a huge show. You can provide a lot of value to a very tight-knit community through a podcast that exists and still see massive benefits. In fact, sometimes even more benefits by going more niche and by going into smaller podcasts that have much more loyal and tighter audiences. So best of luck to you. And again, podcasting, amazing. Guest podcasting, even better. You don't even need a podcast. Now, I will say that as a podcaster myself, when I had a podcast, it was a lot easier to get on other people's podcasts. Podcasters know that existing podcasters are often better on the microphone. They sound better. And so you can definitely position yourself even better if you did have a podcast. And of course, if you're interested in starting your own, you can check out poweruppodcasting.com. We also have tutorials on YouTube and all that great stuff. But today, definitely check out Podcast Hawk, because you can get on another person's podcast very, very soon. podcasthawk.com/SPI. Thanks so much for listening, and I appreciate you, and I look forward to serving you in the next episode. We got a lot more coming, and I'll see you then. Peace out, cheers, and as always, Team Flynn for the win. Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at smartpassiveincome.com. I'm your host, Pat Flynn. Sound design and editing by Paul Gregoris. Our senior producer is Sarah Jane Hess. Our series producer is David Grabowski. And our executive producer is Matt Gartland. The Smart Passive Income Podcast is a production of SPI Media. We'll catch you in the next session. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneur's editor-in-chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone could be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.